Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Meet the Norwegian Lords of Chaos. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
So this is a little bit of a vanity episode for me. But I think it'll become an interesting and enjoyable episode for everybody, not just me.
Okay. Because I can only hope.
It checks off a lot of boxes, and that's important.
I like that.
I have an interest in music and like the history of music, especially the nefarious side of it. We'll get into a little true crime. I hear people are into the true crime.
Some people are.
Four people are into the true crime.
Yeah, it's not cool right now. It's really gross.
Maybe
some people will be. Yeah.
It will be. A little bit of Satanism.
Ooh.
A little bit of murder.
This sounds like a recipe for fun.
Church burning. This is weird. Like, I'm trying to find like the focus of the discussion because there's a lot to unpack with this.
Yeah.
But the kind of focus will be the kind of, well, it's all the dark side of it, but the darkest side of black metal in Norway. I know. This is like,
I'm getting very intrigued by all of this.
Yeah. And the interest for me is I was kind of familiar with this story like pre-internet, but of course with internet, the information is a lot more robust. The black metal scene, like, and if people are listening, because listen, I would take it very seriously if somebody was talking about some, you know, a genre or a subject and, you know, was not 100% informed.
Yeah.
The black metal scene is not my forte. Like, you know, mine would be more of the hardcore punk, maybe thrash metal. There's so many genres, subgenres, you know, extreme metal, thrash, death metal. We can go on and on. And you know, it's nuanced, but it's important to the people that it's important to. And I'm one of them, but I don't claim to be an expert, so I'm just putting that out there. I'm doing my best, but I've always been very familiar with and very interested in the black metal scene in specifically Norway in late 80s, early 90s.
Awesome.
Also, there is a movie coming out called The Lords of Chaos, which features Rory Culkin.
Interesting.
Do you know who Skye Ferry is?
I want to say Fury, but it's not.
She's a singer and an actor and like a model. I actually saw her perform.
She's good.
The Ace had like a Sundance thing. So they showed a movie and had a performer. And Michelle is the one that actually got me into her. So I just happened to be there. And she was great. I mean,
opened for someone really famous.
Yeah,
for a while.
She's like very cool.
Yeah.
You know, one of those people are so cool.
Yeah.
And it's not a negative thing, but it's like, you're so cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when we guested on Lizard People. And the engineer is like the coolest. She was like, we went to her cool apartment, her cool cups, and her cool hat, her cool hair, cool like computer
and it's
prowess.
It's all put together effortlessly.
How?
Yeah.
How?
I tie my shoelaces sideways, which Michelle says makes you look like a nut. You know what I mean? So it's like, how do you have it so together?
Yeah, I have right now plastic on my couch because my cat keeps urinating on it.
Yeah.
I'm not cool.
So that's where we're at.
Yeah.
So this movie, Lords of Chaos.
I don't have bangs.
Yeah. No, you don't have bangs. No, you don't, Rebecca. You don't have bangs, okay?
Yeah. Lords of Chaos.
So that movie will probably be, it's out. Limited release, and it kind of... the director of it, he actually directed this movie that's out on Netflix called Polar with Mads Mikkelsen.
Polar Express.
Nope. Way different.
Polar opposites.
But he also directed like Madonna's, I think, Ray of Light. It's very weird. And like the Prodigy when out in Paul McCartney. But he was in the drummer of one of the earliest black metal bands, I'd say, is called Bathory. So he was the drummer of that in like 84, 85. So he's the director of this movie, although a lot of stuff he's done since then has not been very metal, I guess. But, you know, he has some street credit. The people are like... everyone is speaking English with an American accent, essentially, for the most part, and it's Norwegian.
Yeah.
So we are going to get into, so that kind of ties into it a little bit. So okay, I was like, you know what? Let me go back and look at articles. I watched a documentary that was all in Norwegian. It's subtitled, but it's also an old documentary. So I'm like, kind of like, listening to it.
And I am impressed by your level of research.
When it comes to like music-based stuff, especially, you know, kind of the subculture, it's just always very interesting. You know, but then that's not new. Like Jerry Lee Lewis was a bad dude, essentially, right?
Horrible.
You know what I mean? So it kind of goes, you know, then you have like, you know, the Notorious of Motley Crue and just so many different artists of different genres. But
yeah. Wait, who do you think is the best musician? Like the kindest, nicest? Like musicians can be such horrible people.
Yeah, like the...
Tom Hanks of music?
Oh, man. I don't... Like Forever or...
Yeah, I don't know. Like Kenny Loggins or like...
No, I think he... I think he like poisoned. Yeah, I think he put poison in the oceans or something like that. Sorry for all you logging heads out there.
I'm so
I don't know. I don't know who like was somebody who's like, you know,
it's mostly men. Like who's like the best? And actually, if you guys have any ideas on this, please email us ghosttownpod@gmail.com. Tell us who you think the nicest person. I know it's really sexy to talk about nice people, but for once, we're gonna do it.
Yeah, I would say if Keanu Reeves was.
Is he insane though? Is Keanu Reeves insane?
I think he's flawless.
Like John Cusack is like not a bad guy, but he's also out of his mind.
Yeah,
he used to call into the production company I worked for when I first moved out to LA and like pitch assistance while he waited in like a rambling, and we were all like, "What do we do?"
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm just in love with the John Wick movies now, so it's...
Yeah, sorry.
Basically. Well, you know what?
Or not, I don't know.
Am I a white male with disposable income? So I do, and by disposable, I mean not very disposable, but I'll use it to see John Wick.
Yeah.
But you were talking to me about Breakfast, which had my interest. Then we'll get into... It's going to get really dark after the Breakfast, so
you guys use this opportunity for me talking about this Breakfast phenomenon to prime yourselves for the darkness.
Yes.
But first, the light. Okay, so I went to this thing on Wednesday, which was really amazing. And since 1925, LA has had this group called the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. It meets at Friendship Auditorium in Los Feliz across from Griffith Park. We did a piece on the Griffith Park Zoo. It's really close to there. And basically, it's like I was there and there are people of all ages. Every week this happens. People gather at 7 a.m. to eat breakfast, say the Pledge of Allegiance. Like there's like a sing-along.
Are they saying the Pledge of Allegiance in a way that's like a very like patriotic?
A lot of these people are veterans and they're very old. So this is not like a hipster. Okay. This is like an old ass thing. Roy Rogers used to be a part of it.
Okay.
Or Will Rogers, Roy or Will. Will, I believe.
Well, the Will Rogers, isn't there a museum?
Yes. So probably Will.
Yeah.
I'm probably messing that up. And so there was a table that's dedicated to him. Every member wears a pin. All the guests are formally introduced. And then the people who are new members are initiated there. And so they have been doing this since 1925. So there's like a wealth of rituals for the first hour. In the second hour, they have a lecture by God knows who. Last time it was the Night Stalker. Next week for Valentine's Day, it's the history of tenderness. So it's just like across the board. And it was
how do people handle like when you, because you went during like a crime based one, right?
Yeah, I went for the Night Stalker one, which is
great. Are people like really, I mean, I'm assuming they probably can take the temperature of the room, pretty receptive to whatever it is they're talking
about. Yeah, I mean, everyone's a weirdo. I was one of the youngest people in the room. Well, there was a couple of us, but it was like me and this 12-year-old at this table, and then people who were about 65, 70. So it was such a cool thing that I feel like in LA there's so many events that get affected by shit, like other, you know, like whatever, like sponsored by this. And you're like, no, this is one thing that's pure. It's people gathering together. I think a lot of the people there, it was like their weekly social outlet in a lot of ways. And it was just completely unadulterated by LA garbage hype. It was very pure. And if you live in the LA area, I would recommend going. They have Facebook events for everything. The LA Breakfast Club.
And the most important question, which we're all thinking about, is how is the breakfast?
Okay. It's okay. There's bacon. There's a lot of egg. There's like four different egg dishes. There's cottage cheese, of course.
Pancakes?
No, there's some waffles, though.
Oh, waffles. Okay, so there's something you can put syrup on. Yeah.
Yeah. You have toast and bread. I mean, it's pretty solid. Again, it's in a giant auditorium. They cater it every week. So it's not going to be like, you know, amazing top tier breakfast. It's going to be salt of the earth, Navy veteran style, eggs, maybe some hot sauce if you're feeling crazy, but mostly just like ham and eggs.
All right. Yeah.
There's a crypt equip that they do there. It is of its own space and time.
Yeah.
Highly recommended.
When you were there, were you like, I feel like I could be in a different city right now?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Which I kind of like that. I mean, I love Los Angeles and I say that all the time, but I like being, sometimes when I'm pleased, I'm like, you know, I feel like I could be anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere
was,
in the United States.
It was timeless and placeless, I would say. But I also feel like, I mean, the idea of habit in LA and doing something with friends every week is so foreign to the culture here, you know? So, I just feel like it's a really special thing. And LA has a bunch of weirdo, you know, like it's like weirdo culture meets Midwest habit kind of a thing. It's really like interesting.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you should go check that out. And then you should also check out patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Two bonus episodes a month. Mm-hmm. Or you can get mentioned on the show. Check it out. It helps support the show for us to travel and do cool things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
How about a break?
Okay.
So, yeah.
Are you ready for some darkness?
I've been...
Norwegian darkness?
Because it was also very rainy today.
Yeah.
So
I love it. It's so cozy.
I've been spending so... Like, I've spent time on this previous...
Mm-hmm.
Then I go off and start listening to bands, which, kind of, it's easy for me to get distracted within the same subject. And then I'm watching documentaries and, you know, I'm not going to really find people that are directly involved.
Mm-hmm.
This is a pretty notorious story. We're going to focus a lot about the band Mayhem, which is probably one of the most notorious black metal bands. Not the first, and probably some people would argue not the best, but definitely one of the most infamous, which really kind of put metal and underground anti-authority kind of music on the map. So I'm going to kind of jump around a bit because it's a huge subject.
You know,
talk about Norway, I could talk about metal in general, like about music, but I just need to kind of pare it down. The Lords of Chaos movie, the director that aforementioned is Jonas Åkerlund, and it's based on the book Lords of Chaos, The Bloody Rise of the Satanic Metal Underground is the book. You're already in?
I am already
Oh boy. Well, you're going to...
Sold.
This is only going to go... downhill to hell.
Yay!
Not uphill to heaven.
No, I'm stepping down to hell.
So to kind of start, like, the black metal scene, which was kind of rooted in, you know how, like, in the way, like, hippies and anti-establishment, punk, I feel like black metal was kind of a very anti-authority, natural state of rebellion, kind of using... darkness usually will reflect that. You know what I mean? If, like, the establishment is the light, let's, you know, the darkness. And then, obviously, things like Satanism comes into it. But starting about, just for a reference, in 1992 is when a lot of these church burnings started happening.
Mama.
There was a lot of, I think, like, officially burnt down, very few. But a lot of, you know, obviously, a lot of them are... you know, been very damaged. And here's the thing is, like, I'm not a religious person. I don't necessarily have love for the church or Catholic church, but beside the fact that I just want to let people do their thing.
Yeah.
their historic landmarks, which kind of takes precedence a lot. I was just like,
absolutely.
Even if I'm not like down with this, it doesn't mean I don't respect the fact that it's well important to other people.
It's, and it's history.
And it's history. Like I love churches. When I was in Prague and in Czechoslovakia, I went Czech Republic. Sorry, I'm old. I still say Czechoslovakia.
A barrage of angry tweets.
I know. You know, I went to a place called like the Bone Church. It's a church made of bone. Maybe we'll discuss it in a future episode. I don't know.
I love that because I have seen pictures of it. It's pretty crazy.
It's crazy. And I was in it. And some say I never left.
But you're here. Oh. You left. You actually left. Oh, okay. You actually had a dinner reservation you had to go to.
So yeah, so I was like,
cut out. Yeah, I was like, sorry.
Hard Rock Cafe check is calling.
Check McDonald's.
By 1996, there had been 50 attacks in Norway. And, you know, some of them were like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's Europe. It's older than the U.S., everybody.
Some say, yes.
Probably the first historic 12th century church was the Fantorf Stave. I'm speaking Norwegian. Church, which was burnt to the ground and photographed and put on the cover of the album by Burzum, which is the EP was called ASKE, which means ash. So we're going to reference this guy.
Okay.
He burnt down a church. He had a band. It was really just him. Burzum was just him. Who'll be kind of a focal part of the story, but he burnt down a church and then took a picture of it and he's like, and put it on an album cover.
Okay.
That won't be the, that is not going to be the most egregious and worst album cover I'm going to be mentioning on this episode.
People are really, but people understand the importance of an album cover, which I respect.
So now I'm going to get into the history of the band that still exists called Mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
And when people talk about black metal, and if you research anything about black metal, especially when it comes to Satanism, church burnings, Mayhem is the center. That's what they made, you know, wrote a book, and now they're making a movie because it's so notorious. And it's, what's also hard about a lot of these, we're talking about a lot of black metal, and some, not all, because of how extreme it is, there's some waves of kind of like, loose Nazi and nationalistic stuff, anti-Semitic, and it's not everybody, and it's and I'm not making any excuses for any of it because there are zero excuses, but I'm just saying the way it's where it's not everybody because I just don't want to lump everyone into the same thing, and then a lot of times usually people like denounce it. It's like, yeah, listen, I was, you know, that's what I thought, whatever. It's like, I don't think that now. Most of the time kind of change their tune for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily make it any better or any more correct. But that's a lot of obviously the issue with it because it's sometimes very extreme with, you know, it's like blood and soil and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know, obviously not down with.
Yeah.
Rec, if you are, no bigs. You know what I mean? Do your thing, girl. Two Jews just talking about. Just
talking about death metal.
Yeah, we're talking about black metal.
Black
metal. See, that's gonna get you in trouble. That's gonna get you in big trouble.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay. Will you forgive me?
You get, it's 75,000 strikes and you're out. You're good.
Okay, I'm good. I have about 5,000 left.
So we're going to talk about the band Mayhem and kind of how they started. So the former singer of the band, and the name, Per Yngve Olin. Oh, let's go by his street name, Dead.
Straight. He's like, let's cut the middle, man. Let's make it real simple.
Yeah.
Dead.
And you know how some people are like, you know, you see a lot of bands and a lot of it is a lot of like pomp and circumstance. And this guy meant it.
Yeah.
And you're going to find out why.
Can't wait.
So he started the band with Jan Axel Blomberg, Hellhammer, which was another popular kind of old school black. Yeah.
Presumably hammering things hellishly.
So, the singer Dead, he was kind of known to have obviously some kind of mental problems, depressed, frequently tried to commit suicide. He was, you ever watch or see like a metal band, they have like the corpse paint, which is like the black and white, which is so cool looking.
Yeah, it's really
great. It's like they really took what Kiss did and was like, let's
pare it down and make it even more fucking badass.
Yeah, it's so cool. Yeah.
It's like, Les, we're going to take the glam out of this. Baby.
So he was kind of one of the... it's claimed that he's the first person to really do that, probably off maybe being inspired by a band like Kiss or, mm-hmm. or you know, monster movies or whatever.
Like Day of the Dead.
He used to also take his stage clothes and bury them and then dig them up and put them on before they performed.
Oh. To be closer and everyone's to. Like, do you guys want M&Ms in here? Do you want Sprites?
No.
No, you want me to dig up your old clothes and bring them back to you so you can put them back on for your show?
Yeah. So that's what he would do. He also would find like dead birds and animals and keep them under the bed and sleep with them so he can be closer to things that are dying all the time.
Dead.
That's dead we're talking about here. Yeah. We're not talking about Gary.
Not my stepdad.
He's not in here. He was in the band very briefly. He played keyboards. They're like, well, yeah, you know, we're good.
I know. It's like, all right, again, it's Christmas. I understand you're...
He would... Dead would cut himself with hunting knives and broken glass.
This guy was a delight.
He was great. He went on to be Jeff Bezos from Amazon. I couldn't wait till the end. Not many people know about it. The band would put a pig or sheep's head impaled on stakes and planted them at the front of the stage. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, it's like so metal. And also, like, it's so of its time, too.
It's going to get... We're going to get it.
Keep
going. I'm going to skip that part. It's going to give it away.
I want to, as you say this, I want to be getting tattoos. I want something. Can someone just be here next time we do a metal or like satanic and someone just like be here to tattoo me while I listen.
And then just paint our faces. Oh, and then
fuck. Yeah.
It's so good. So, on April 8th, 1991, Dead committed suicide. Okay.
No surprise.
No, it's not surprised. I'm not surprised.
No. I can't believe he went this long.
Yeah. They were like, we did not. Well, he's called Dead. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, guys, Dead is leaving. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah, man, we get it.
Yeah.
So the band owned a house. He killed himself in there. Now he was found,
a homeowner.
Yeah. No, he was a homeowner. He was found by, and this is a very another important person. He went by Euronymous. I think is how I'm pronouncing it. He had slit wrist and a shotgun wound to the head. And
a
suicide note that there's a couple different translations, but it's
what do you think happened? You think like he slit his wrist? He was like, this isn't fast enough. I'm going to shoot myself in the head.
Probably just like kind of just totally went. I mean, I think just really like lived and died it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the note said very politely, excuse all the blood. Cheers.
Cheers.
Or like, excuse all the blood, like keep on rocking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like something like that.
Oh, that's cute.
And then also an apology for firing the weapon indoors.
Oh, for a guy that's named Dead.
Yeah.
Like that's a really cordial, thoughtful message. Death message.
He was, he was very, very polite.
It wasn't
polite.
Like a pentagram.
Well, you're asking who's the nicest, I mean, politeness?
Dead.
We're looking at it here. I'm sorry.
That's right.
I don't
Please
know.
Excuse all- no, he would have.
Sorry. He's more polite than Kenny Loggins.
Yeah, that's probably true. He would have gotten some kind of solvent to clean the blood, though.
Yeah,
he
could have left something
yet.
Out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you might be surprised the fact that Euronymous didn't call the police.
Oh, God.
He went to a store and a little throwback bought a disposable camera.
Nice.
Took a picture of it or several pictures of it.
Respectful.
And, rearranged some of the items too to kind of like stage it a little bit better. And then one of the photographs was used on a cover of one of their bootleg albums, which is a very famous bootleg album called Dawn of the Black Hearts.
Can any of this be put on Instagram?
Not this album cover because the album cover, and which I've never purposely seen before. Mm-hmm. And obviously in my research, I had to do it to talk about it here, which I would not have normally done.
Uh-huh.
It's not pleasant. But so they use that for this bootleg, not an official album, but it's his head blown off with his brains sitting there.
Jesus.
And I think it's like a shirt that says like I heart something. So it's I believe. Look at him. Yeah.
Oh my God. What did he heart?
Ugh,
oh God.
Yeah. Oh, cookies.
Hugs.
Yeah.
Teddy bears.
It was like free hugs. We had a free hug shirt.
It was like. Oh,
yeah. So that's
my mom.
Now there's some rumors flying.
Okay. I'm open to them.
That Euronymous made a stew with the bits of his brain.
A death brain stew?
Dead brain stew.
Like a soup or a stew?
I think it was like a bouillie base.
Yeah. Did you use the mother sauces?
Yeah. And then that part's a rumor, but that he made necklaces with bits of his skull.
Damn.
And gave them to people that he felt like you're cool in the music scene.
Oh, and we have them for sale on our Patreon.
Yep. It's it's $666. Yeah, exactly. Patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
We definitely are shameless.
Yeah. So now they're working on their album, even though Dead is Dead.
Yeah.
Working on their most, this is probably their most famous album and in the black metal scene. It is called De Mysterious Dom Satanas, which translates to Lord Satan's Secret Rites. Right? So this is a regardless of what you think, but this is like, this album is extremely important to music because of how it kind of came about and what else happened because of it. But it is like that album. And that album they recorded between 92 and 93, came out in 94. Just for you music people out there.
Nice.
So Uranus, whose name is Oystein Arseth. Again, probably
so
not the
sorry.
Best.
Yeah, it's like
probably not the best.
Names are just like all vowels and N's. And
O's with lines through them.
Yeah.
You know.
What does that even mean?
And I was just in Copenhagen recently, so that's like kind of near. So you figure I'd be able to just kind of like rattle these off.
Like, it would just naturally.
But like, I wanted to go. When I was there, I was like, I want to go to Sweden. Because now you want some death metal, you go to Sweden.
Yeah.
Then you go to Norway, you go to black metal.
Oof.
So now we got Euronymous, right? Who's kind of becoming, just listening to interviews about him, because he's kind of like the center. He's like, I am black metal.
Yeah.
Like, he had his like house/record store called like Helvete, which stands for hell, which was kind of like this like meeting place for people. It was just, he was kind of a weird, seemed like an intolerable kind of person, but supposedly like nice, and kind of somebody who had was really a cool family guy. But when he was around people that knew him, it was more fun for him to be Euronymous around other people that didn't know, especially as people.
He was like a normal dude. And it's like you put on the Euronymous hat.
Yeah. And then you become, where other people are like, listen, we know you're, you know,
You don't have to sacrifice animals around us.
Yeah.
We're friends.
So now we introduce another bass player comes in the mix. Varg Vikernes.
Okay.
Also goes by the Count. Now, this guy is a true bad dude. And if you really want to get to like the true crime nitty gritty, you look up Varg Vikernes. Because
where did they find him? Where did they dig him up?
He was friends with Euronymous, and Euronymous thought he was just so freaking cool.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is the one that is like kind of he becomes kind of the person that is the most synonymous with. He's the one I mentioned that was burned down the church and put on his album for Burzum, for Ash.
Yeah.
He also is somebody that. You know, you ask these people, like, are you a like neo-Nazi? And they always skirt around. It's always kind of like, sort of, not really. There's part, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, because it's not like, because, you know, even back in like the days of like the Sex Pistols, like Sid Vicious wore like a swastika.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, is that right? No. But everything was very like, we want to shock you. And I think a lot of it
which
is.
Which I
that,
used to love about that, like as a young,
of course,
very depressed art student. Like, I love that. But nowadays it does feel very like, I get it. You're not like taking back the swastika. Like, there's so much embedded into that symbiology.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Don't bother.
Like, what are we doing here?
But I can understand that people ignorantly and stupidly do things to shock you.
Yeah.
To shock the establishment or whatever. And I think a lot of it is because of that. I can't really speak for it. Euronymous and I'm just gonna call him Varg, eventually did not get along very well. Because on August 10th, 1993, Varg murdered Euronymous.
Says
it was self-defense.
I did not see that coming.
After all the church burnings, he was just like, well, you know, let's see.
Yeah, but it's like, come hang out with this cool band and then end my life.
When they were in the band together. You know what I mean? They recorded this album, De Mysterious Dom Satanas. I probably should have learned, but you know, you get what it is.
You guys get it.
So, there was a confrontation. Varg says, oh, it was self-defense. but you could see a lot of the offensive wounds are in his Uranus's back.
Uh-huh.
So,
damn.
Yeah. So let's see. 23 cut wounds. 2 to the head, 5 to the neck, 16 to the back.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. He says that...
Not such a cool guy, huh? No, Hieronymus.
Yeah. That he... Varg says that Hieronymus plotted to torture him to death and videotape the event and using a meeting about some unsigned contract as like a pretext to kind of get together.
Mm-hmm.
And he claimed to, he intended to hand Hieronymus the signed contract and... tell him to fuck off. This is a quote. I don't, you know, I don't curse on here, but I'm mm-hmm. quoting.
Yeah, you're just being a historian.
Hieronymus attacked him first, which is based on this guy Varg, probably not true.
Yeah.
Not to say that, he, you know, both people weren't aggressive yeah. or whatever. You know, Varg defends, you know, most of the cut wounds were caused by broken glass because he had fallen during the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Varg was arrested within days, and a few months he was sentenced to 21 years in prison for both the murder and the church arsons. He claims self-defense mm-hmm. as the murder and the church. Yeah, like, you know, some things he says, no, I did, and, you know, yeah, no, I didn't.
But they're like, you're a bad person.
He actually, I don't know how, you know, in mm-hmm. Norwegian prisons, he actually was like, had like a temporary release from jail or something, mm-hmm. a little like, but he went and then he, from what I remember, he found a car of like a family and like held him at knife point and stole the car. So, yeah, he's out of jail now. And now he's kind of changed his name back to his original name or his other name. And, you know, he's still kind of, you know, he's kind of soft, you know, he's kind of like, I'm different now, but not really super apologetic.
Yeah.
You know, just not a great person.
Not a good guy.
Now, what's interesting about this album, De Mysterious Dom Sathanas,
mm-hmm.
is, Varg plays the bass tracks on it because mm-hmm. Necro Butcher, who was always in the band, he was like, my friend died. He's like, I'm not doing this album.
Yeah. Also, your name is Necro Butcher. I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Hellhammer, the drummer,
yeah.
he promised Hieronymus's family, keep
Got
up.
It.
Maybe what we need on Instagram is like a chart, family
I know,
tree.
I think we do.
We need a chart. That he says
like the limp ones
that he would re-record Varg's bass parts because it's like, hey, listen, the guy who killed our son,
yeah.
his bass, can't you just take them out? Like, why yeah. are we celebrating that? And he's like, yeah, yeah, definitely, I'll do that. But then he, in quote, to quote, I thought it would be appropriate that the murderer and victim were on the same record.
Why is that appropriate? Who thinks that appropriate?
Well, that's the thing. It's not. See, you're thinking what's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
What the MTV says is appropriate. You know what yeah, I mean? Like, what does like, MTV say?
You mean it's like the zoo in my hometown where it was like the predator and the prey were pretty much in the same
team. Yeah, yeah, like that.
It's like, whoa, what are we doing here?
So, and then from there, kind of, Mayhem continued to be a band and mm-hmm. some different versions. People say it's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And... that's kind of the story with that. Now, I was kind of wondering, like, what did people in Norway... because I'm speaking about Oslo and Bergen, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that, you know, it's like, oh, my God, like, well, black metal must be huge there. But what people say is, like, to people in Norway, black metal isn't huge. It's these bands are from Norway are huge in other places.
Yeah.
So they say
it's similar to like places like bands in America where you're yeah. like, are you still around? And it's like, no, they tour Europe constantly.
Yeah, and they're huge there, but yeah. you're here, you know what I mean? Like they play like a fair or something yeah. like that. So, and then also the fact that black metal, you know, used to be a very underground, you know, there was a lot of, you know, planning of, you know,
yeah.
church burnings, you know what I mean? There was, oh God, there was another guy in this scene, maybe went by Faust, where he, like killed this dude because he was mm-hmm. this gay dude. You know what yeah, I mean? Like oof. It was really, and he was the drummer of the band Emperor, which is another mm-hmm. popular black metal band. Just throwing yeah. that in there for you people that you know that want to hear a little extra.
Yeah,
it's tough, you know. And some of these people go on like later on to be like, they either dismiss it or discount it. You know, but still, like things happen.
Yeah, like so people aren't really apologetic.
No, because it's in their head, and mm-hmm. that's their way of being. You know. Rebellious and anti-authority. Yeah. The Satanists and Satanisms and this black metal inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about the Church of Satan
yeah.
on our very, very not famous episode, but great episode, the Black House.
Yeah.
Black House.
Yeah,
they said the Church of Satan was too humane.
Wow. Wow.
Because the Satan, you know, for listen, the Satanism, mm-hmm. as far as we know, the Church of Satan is like, as far as I'm concerned, pretty chill.
Yeah.
Pretty sensible.
Every religion has an extreme.
Everyone has an extreme. Yeah. Everyone has things where you're like, I agree. Yeah,
exactly.
That makes
even
sense.
The Church of Satan.
Yeah. So their version of Satan was more like anti-authority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the opposite of whatever you're doing and how extreme can we go?
Yeah. It seems like so like dog eat dog. Nobody matters. Like everyone can die at a moment's notice or be decimated.
Yeah. It's very, it's interesting and it's dark, mm-hmm. But there seemed to, because as kind of black metal's grown, it's, you know, way more, even though it's not, in music sense, it's still underground, but mm-hmm. it's commercial, major, you know, yeah. major tours and stuff like that. But I thought it was interesting, in the 2015 edition of this festival called Blast Fest,
mm-hmm.
Which is held in Bergen, was opened by like the person who opened it like to present it was the mayor of Bergen. Whoa. And she's like kind of like it looks like a librarian.
Oh.
And behind her, if you look, there's a photo, it's the band, I think it's Rotting Christ.
Oh yeah.
So it's like a very they kind of embrace the you know kind of like hey this is like a hometown thing.
That's so
even though black metal is not you figure like that's like oh, listen, Billy Joel is popular in New York.
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen is popular in New Jersey. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I don't know. Red Hot Chili Peppers are popular in California. I don't know, mm-hmm. whatever it is, you yeah. know? But in Norway, it's just the bands happen to be popular.
Yeah.
But in Norway, people aren't like, black metal is not some like huge thing, you
yeah.
know? Which I thought, which is something that I definitely did not know in doing my research.
Yeah. Ooh, that is so interesting.
And it's kind of just giving a real skim of the history, because I'm talking about like, you know, 20, 30 year history of it and the music. And I'm so excited to talk about it that mm-hmm. I was like, I want to talk about all these more nuanced things. But I think for the sake of like an interesting story.
A nice entryway into
black metal.
Black metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it's a nice entryway.
It's a nice entryway.
Aww.
Uh-huh.